We are in the middle of the fifth parak. We are halfway through. We're going to be finishing the parak tonight. And he spoke about the three different things that hold a person back from acquiring the midah of alacrity. And we're in the middle of the second, which is discussing the idea of leitzanus, of mockery. And he says, I'll pick it up from the middle, up until now, basically, just summing up a little bit, is that it's something that's extremely damaging, and it's something that, aside from its damaging characteristic, it's something that's very difficult for a person themselves to get rid of this, to work on this midah, per se. The tirek shia latzon v'eshchasaso haraba, that to see the real, the damaging and the destructive force, how destructive this really is. Ki kamo hamagin hamashuach v'shemen, asher yashmit v'apil me'alav hachitim, that if you have a shield that you put on, you smear it with oil, so that any time there's an arrow that comes, that hits the shield, it's going to bounce away. Hashlichem la'aretz, it's going to fall to the ground. V'lo yaneach osam che'agia el guf adam, it's never going to be able to reach the person. Kein halotam v'nei atochacha v'amardos, so too is rebuke. Meaning that when a person hears tochacha, because they're doing something wrong, they're just going to deflect it with a joke, with making fun of it. Ki b'leitzanus echad v'schok katan yapil adam me'elav ribui gadol min asorus v'spa'alus mashal leiv misora mispa'al ba'atmo midei ro'oso o'shamo an yonim shir'u ela cheshbon v'apishpush b'masim. I'll translate a lot of this now. That when it comes to even one small act of mockery, making one small wisecrack, right? Imagine, let's say you're in the middle of hearing Shabbos Shuvah Drasha or something, and the person next to you makes a joke about something the rabbi just said. It totally ruins the moment. Not even for him, of course, but even for you, just hearing that, it makes, and especially if it was funny, makes it difficult to view something as serious, to really be open to hearing the criticism. So he says that when someone even makes one small joke of ridicule, of mockery, then that could take away and damage a lot of potential inspiration and motivation, that which a person's heart would be drawn after. That you would see something or hear something, and maybe that, in theory, would draw a person towards wanting to be better, wanting to examine their deeds. And with the power, meaning not good power, but with the strength of mockery, it's so powerful that it could really deflect and bring to the ground. And it won't be able to have any real effect on the person. It won't be able to impact the positive words or the words of Musar. Won't be able to have any effect. And he says, "V'lo mpnei chulshas hanyanim," and not just be out of the weakness of motivating factors. It's not that the person doesn't have the ability to be motivated. "V'lo mpnei chesron havan saleiv," not that the person doesn't understand, maybe that they should be motivated or understand that what they're being told is something that's serious and something that is something important. But the fact that this idea of leitzanus, of mockery, is someone that's able to tear down a person's total moral code and a person's total, like, any hope of Yirat Shamayim. So he's saying, don't just think that someone who's a leitz is someone who, you know, they're not able to get motivated whatsoever. It's that they could, except that the leitzanus tears it down and makes it so that it doesn't impact them whatsoever. V'hine, Hanavi Yishayahu. Yahu had a very difficult life, trying to get the people before Chorban Habayis to do tshuva. V'hine, Hanavi Yishayahu haya tzoveach al zeh kechruchya. He continuously cried out to the people regarding this specific idea, this specific concept. Ki haya roa sheze haya mashalo yamaneach makom tofachosa sheyasu rosha. He noticed and he was aware that because of this, his musar that he had to give them, that they needed to hear in order to do tshuva, that they weren't going to be makabel, it wasn't going to make an impact on them whatsoever. And that they were going to be lost, the sinners. These sinners, they weren't going to be able to change their ways. And he knew and he told them what would happen, how severe the punishments will be. Humasha Amar. This is what he says. Viata al tis lotzatsu pen yechazku mosrechem. And don't be elate, lest the suffering intensifies. Meaning they were already, things weren't going well for them, but he knew that things would get even worse. He was given the nevuah to tell them what would happen. And it was the writing on the wall. It was there in front of them. But because of their late sonos, they weren't able to be makabale whatsoever. They weren't able to change their ways, making fun of him. Imagine similarly, probably with Noah, where Noah had to tell the people, you're doing a terrible thing. Hashem's going to bring a flood. You know, they probably made fun of him. Oh, flood, yeah, Noah, come on. Like one day, he was doing that, he was building a boat for about 100 years, right? So one day it starts raining, like, Noah, is this the flood? Right? Imagine, like, all that just totally takes away the power of the musar that's necessary for those people to hear. And there's no chance of success when someone is mocking that. Kfar Gazru, Omer, Chachamim, Zechron, Alevracha. And this was already decreed, this notion was decreed by the Chacham, the Tanam, Amaram, even earlier, as we'll see. It says in Gemara Avodah Zarah, Shalait mevi'a yisurin alav, that a late causes yisurin to come to him, come upon him. I may have made a footnote for myself later, but I'll just say it now, in case I forget, that it's not where necessarily a person who's a late, a person who mocks things, necessarily deserves to be punished with yisurin, with physical pain, because he mocks things. Rather, Hashem wants us to do the right thing. And Hashem is going to typically give us a chance. We spoke previously, right, about how even though Hashem is a judge, Hashem has rachamim to give us time to do tshuva. So Hashem is going to give us that time. But when a person is a late and they're making fun of the opportunities to do tshuva, then they're never going to do it until maybe when Hashem makes them suffer. Because when a person suffers in this world, that's when a person oftentimes will have a much better shot of trying to get closer to Hashem, davening to Hashem, telling Hashem, I've messed up, I'm going to be better. So it's the late will be punished with yisurin, not because specifically he's a late, but because he won't listen to do tshuva. He won't admit his mistakes and want to do tshuva until he gets to the point where he's physically suffering. So that's why the Gemara says, Shalit maybe yisurin alav. He brings yisurin upon him because he's not going to listen to anything else, so that Hashem has to bring suffering upon him. Humasha akasav atma mevar b'ter. This is what it says in Mishlei. But Shlomo HaMelech wrote explicitly, Nachonu laleitzim shefatim, that the leitzim they ready themselves, they're ready for the affliction. They bring the afflictions upon themselves, basically. Kizehu davar, zehu davar shadin nosin oso. Because this is something that logic dictates. Let me see. I apologize, I was off for you guys. Here I am. You guys tell me if I'm off on the slide up here. Kimisha mispalel, because a person who's motivated may not have his bonenos min halimudim, from contemplation, from learning, right, to hear the musar, eino trach sheiz yaseh b'gufo. This is where he says it explicitly, the Ramchal. That person doesn't need to suffer in order to do tshuva. Ki kvar yashuv mechatosav, because this person will already go back to the right way, the right path, the proper path of doing tshuva. Because since this person is a thoughtful person, since this person is a learned person, so when he learns Torah and he hears about just learning ideas about being a better Jew, about learning Musar, So he's naturally going to come towards becoming better and accepting the Tochacha for his mistakes. Ahaleitzim. The Leitzim, however, She'enem is piled in Minha Tochachos, Mepnei Koch Leitzanusam. Since the Leitzim, they're not going to be going back to the right ways because of their, not going to go back to their proper ways. I apologize, let me start from the saying. Yeah. Okay. They're not going to go back to their proper ways because of their late sanas. In lahem tikun ela hashvatim. There's no way for them to rectify their sins other than suffering in order to get them to do tshuva. That's the only thing that's going to work for them. She'ela lo yiyya koch leitanusam letchosam me'alem kasher yidchu hamusarem. You see where we are for you? I realized this is where we are. I apologize. I was wrong here. The Gemara and the Mishlei was quoted multiple times. That's why I was confused. Okay, sorry. So, in lam tikun al shvatim, she'el lo yakoch peleitusam netchosa me'elem kasher yitchu amusar. Since they're not going to accept any of the musar, the only thing that's going to work for them is the musar. V'hine, right over here for you. V'hine, the intensity of the sin and what it brings to a person. Of course, the greater severity in the sin, the greater the punishment and suffering a person has to endure. This is what it says. Leitzanus is so difficult that it's such a bad mida that in the beginning a person's going to suffer and in the end a person's going to die from it. I mean, the Gemara is saying that even, of course, a person's not going to hear a tochacha because they're late, they're going to mock and make fun of everything. Even when the yisurim come, probably they might not change, and then because they're not changing from that, so Hashem might kill them. Ultimately, they might die from this. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Pen yachzekubos reichem, lest their suffering gets stronger. Kichal v'necharatza shamati. And then it will come to lead to total annihilation, to them being totally wiped out. V'amafsid hashlishi. Okay, well, so now we have, that was the end of the second section of the whole idea of a late being something that could bring a person back from proper zahirus, being able to think about things in contemplation. If a person makes fun of all these, of all the opportunities to become closer to Hashem and to contemplate one's deeds, if they're making fun of that, they have no chance. So now the third is the idea of chevra. Chevra is a very, very important thing. And just to say, I mean, this is not like a shul public yet. Actually, I have to tell Moshe. We will continue this year. You don't have to worry. But I'm probably going to be moving to a house sometime soon. Not like tomorrow. Thank you. Not like tomorrow, but sometime within the next few months. And one of the decisions, there are a number of decisions and factors, of course, that go into moving to a house, buying a house. But one of the factors is kind of like chevra versus family. Not where you have to choose one or the other, but I could either live in a community where I am closer physically, location-wise, to my family, or I could live in a place where I am closer location-wise to some of my closest friends. And it's a very serious decision. And chevra, I bring that up now because it's a good segue to this, because chevra is a very important thing. He's now going to speak and emphasize how much an impact a bad chevra could be on a person. But a good chevra, of course, conversely to that, can have a very positive impact on a person and on a person's family. So chevra is not something to be underestimated. So he says, "Amavsed ashlishi hu achevra," that the third thing that could bring a person away from proper zihirus is that of chevra. The Hainu, Chevras HaTipshim VeAchotim, that people who are just foolish and sinners, People are fools, make fun of everything. Not necessarily elites, but could be. But people are sinners, bad people to hang around with. I'll tell you a story, great story I heard to bring home this point. I do not remember the Rebbe involved. There was a chassid who had to move to a community that was not like his. He was not used to moving to a crowd where people were far less religious than him. He was extremely concerned, and he went to speak to the Rebbe, unsure whether he should do this. He obviously had reason as to why he needed to move there. And his Rebbe encouraged him. His Rebbe said, "Don't worry, it's going to be okay. Let's make sure to speak, let's stay in touch, but go, you should go." And he went, and after a few months, so he spoke to his Rebbe, and he said, "I'm very uncomfortable here. It's not really a place for me. It's not a place for a proper Ben Torah." His Rebbe wrote to him and said, don't worry, you stay. It's good for you. You'll have a good ashpa, right?" A few months go by, and he wrote back and he said, "Rebbe, it's really not working. Like, I'm not like these people. I'm not friends with them. I'm not hanging out with them. And it's tough to, like, I'm doing everything I was doing beforehand, but it's not so simple." His Rebbe encouraged him again, said, "Don't worry, stay, it's going to be great, everything will be fine, everything will work out." A few months go by, and he writes back to his Rebbe, says, Rebbe, I started getting used to the people here, started becoming pretty good friends with them, some of them, and, I appreciate it, like, you telling me to stay here, because things are much better than they were." And the Rebbe wrote back to him and he said, "Come back now. Come back now." So his Rebbe explained to him and he said that up until now, since you were around the bad chevra, so when it was bothering you, that was a good thing because you weren't being influenced by them. It was tough. Like, I don't know what to do. But now that you're so comfortable with them and things are going great, that's a problem. And now you should come back. Now it's not good for you to stay there. It'll be bad for you spiritually." So a chevra has a very, very big impact on a person. And continuing, "V'hu masha akasuv omer," this is what it says in Mishlei, "V'ruach k'silim yoreya," that to befriend people who are foolish is gonna break a person. "Ki hine anachnu ro'am pa'amim rabos afilu achar shens ames." Because there are plenty of times where we'll see that even after a person recognizes the avoda of zihirus and the obligation to serve Hashem and be zahir, yisrapa mimena o yavor al eza dvar mimena kidei shalil agu alav chavirav o kidei lesari vimahem. So as a person, for two reasons, could be lax in things that they know they should do. They know they should daven. Let's say, for example, I see this in high school, right? They know they should daven. And they might not daven, either because they're going to be made fun of by their friends who don't daven, or they want to just fit in with them. I don't want to be different. I don't want to be different from them. Or by Ari Leibowitz in the Shir, when he discussed chinuch, raising one's children, and when it comes to bringing them... having them go to school. So he said, "I suggest looking to send them to a school where it's not weird to be the frum kid." Right? I thought, when I heard that, I thought it was very powerful. Right? So there are plenty of schools where to be very frum is a weird thing. He says, you want a school where to be really frum is a good thing. That's the cool thing. It's just could keep that in mind for many years down the line for us, potentially. And he says, "V'humash Shlomo Mazhir v'Omer," and this is what Shlomo warns us and says, "Im shonim al tisarav," that if these people alter the Torah, they change the Torah, they say, "This isn't for me." Those are people you don't want to mingle with. "Ki im yomar lecha adam," because someone says to you, "Le'olam te daito shel adam me'oreves imabrios," person might argue back with you. They'll say, "Hey, I'm a pretty smart guy. I know the Gemara in Ksubos. The Gemara says that a person should mingle with people. A person should be a social person." Af atau emorlo, respond to him. Bamedvar mamurim. What's that talking about when the Gemara says you should be involved with people? Bibnei Adam sho'osim maisa Adam. Those are with people who act like human beings. Aflo bibnei Adam sho'osim maisa behema. But not people who act like animals. People, now he's not just talking about, like, we use the phrase acting like an animal when someone's going crazy, but he's saying a person who's not using their seichel. What makes a person a human is our dibur, our ability to speak properly, our actions, the ability to work on midos. And if someone is not doing those things, then in essence they're a behema. Shlomo mazhir od. And Shlomo further warns us, lech mineged le'ish ksil. Go away from the person who's foolish. The David HaMelech Amar, David HaMelech, who of course was a spiritual giant, but he was also a king. So he says, Asher Ha'ish Asher Lo Halach, that's the first pasuk in Tehillim. I believe Derech Reisham is the next few words, right? Praiseworthy is a person who doesn't follow in the ways of the wicked. The Kfar Pershu Zechron HaLebracha, the Gemara Bo'ezar says, Im Halach Sofa Lamod, that if he starts walking on that sinful path, Sofa Lamod, his end is, he's going to eventually stand up. Meaning he's going to not just walking through and start that path, but he's going to be standing there. Vim amar sofo leishev. And if he's standing there, if he gets habituated to that custom, then in the end, he's going to sit there. And that's going to be his permanent dwelling, metaphorically. Vi omer, and the Adonai says, Lo yashavti im seishav. I don't sit with dishonest people. Sanesi v'gomer, sanesi kahal mireim v'gomer. I hate people who gather together for wicked reasons. People who are wicked who gather together. Ein lo la'adam ela li taher ulnakos atmo. That the whole idea of what a person should do is to purify oneself, to cleanse oneself. L'nor raglav midarche hamon hashkuim behevle azman. And to not waste one's time with people who just do, or who are just frivolous with their time and their behavior, because that's not going to be beneficial for someone. So to hang around those people is a terrible thing. A person should bring their legs to the courtyard of Hashem and to Hashem's dwelling places. This is what David HaMelech says and concludes, Erchatz b'nikayon kapay, I wash my hands with a... I cleanse my hands for you. Va'asobeva es mizbachacha Hashem. And I encircle your mizbeach Hashem. V'im yera lo shiyimate bechevras mi shiyolagalav. And if a person finds themselves in a chevra that's taunting them, lo yashis libo el halag haku. A person shouldn't pay attention to them. Adaraba yilag al mal'igav vivazim. A person should turn and shame them. Not just, oh, they're taunting you, so don't say anything. Shame them. It happens to be, there's a footnote later in this, because really a person shouldn't talk back, and the way of a Ben Torah is not to do that. And so it explains that what he's referring to here is someone who disgraces the Torah. People who just want to make fun of a person or something, okay, you don't have to respond. But if someone makes fun of the Torah, you have to stand up out of respect and respond back for Kavod HaTorah. V'yasho b'dayto kilule haya lo larviach mamon harbe. That imagine, he says, so a person might think, you know, how could I respond back? How could I do that? I want to be in with my friends. Imagine if a person has the opportunity to make hundreds of thousands of dollars. Is a person going to turn that opportunity down just so that his friends don't make fun of him? Let's say someone says to you, you know, I'll give you $100,000 if for 2 weeks you could stand wearing a hot dog outfit in front of one of the stores in Teaneck to sell hot dogs for me. You'll look like a fool, but $100,000. I'll probably take it. Right? So would the person turn that down just so that people don't make fun of him? No. So he says, so too in the spiritual realm, Kal v'chomer. He says, Kal shekin. How much more so a person shouldn't have their soul lost because a person might make fun of you. This way, the Chachamim learn and teach us. A person should be bold as a leopard in order to always serve Hashem. person shouldn't be bashful, shouldn't be scared, shouldn't be embarrassed. We daven in a few places to not be embarrassed for serving Hashem. It's a very important thing. He says, "B'David Amar, the Adraba, Be'dosecha Negem Lachem V'lo Ebush." On the contrary, I'll testify against the kings, and I won't be embarrassed. He's going to elaborate on this now in much more detail. But basically, David HaMelech, when he was in the company of other kings, and they're talking about things that are worthless, he'll stand up for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what they think. Shalva Pisha Rova Malachim, that even though most kings, Iskam B'dibur and B'divrei Gedolos Danos, even though they speak about things that are of the physical nature, things that are just enjoyable to them, pleasurable. The David Hayagam came out. David himself was also a king. L'chora tiyalo l'cherpa in bioso b'chavasam yehu medaber b'divrei musa v'torah. So you think it should be disgraceful for him that, right, that these people would disgrace any words of Torah, any words of musa whatsoever, which is obviously what David now cared about. You think instead, you know, maybe he would talk, he would have to talk about these things with them. He paid no attention to them. And he wasn't enticed by their vanity, by their emptiness whatsoever, to go after them compared to the emes, compared to the truth. That the tour, on a side note, the tour of Shulchan Aruch begins by discussing this idea of not being embarrassed when it comes to other people's company and to stand up for Torah mitzvos, because at the beginning, when you're writing a book of halacha, one of the things that could deter a person, from wanting to continue and keep halacha is feeling a part of a chevra. And he says you can't be embarrassed. You have to serve Hashem. Do Hashem's mitzvos, no matter what. Ela mefarish v'omer, David HaMelech, instead of saying and speaking the way they spoke, he was explicit in saying, I'm going to go speak totally in opposition to them, and speak about the things that matter to me, about the things that are real, and I won't be embarrassed. V'Yishayahu k'mulchein amar Yishayahu said as well, Alkein samti fanai kachalamish veida kilo evosh. I'm going to place my head down, bury my head in a rock, and I won't be embarrassed standing up for what I believe in. It's a very important point. It comes up in life, certainly quite often. Plenty of times where a person might be embarrassed, like davening in an airport, right, putting on tefillin in places, making brachas maybe around non-Jewish co-workers. There are plenty of times where we feel a certain level of embarrassment, but it's important to not be embarrassed and try to certainly to not have a lapse of any mitzvah that we're supposed to do because of it, but even more so to try to be proud of our Judaism and to make sure that we are constantly serving our Kaddish Baruch Hu, and doing the right thing.